Welcome to the TaxCast from the Tax Justice Network. Around 20 minutes packed with global news and analysis you won't find anywhere else. With me, Naomi Fowler. The TaxCast is available to everyone for download and broadcast on www.tackletaxhavens.com and now also on the Tax Justice Network's brand new site, www.taxjustice.net. Here's the Tax Justice News Roundup for this month. Are European tax havens getting illegal state subsidies? And does rewriting tax rules so multinational companies can avoid tax constitute anti-competitive behaviour? The European Union Commission's starting to make a lot of noise about whether some countries are acting contrary to the principles of the European single market in which they're operating. More on that later. France has issued Google with a $1 billion tax bill. Remember when French finance inspectors raided Google's Paris offices back in 2011? Their investigations into the accounts showed how Google reduced its French tax bill, channeling money through a Dutch-registered intermediary, then onto a Bermuda-registered holding firm, finally reporting in low-tax Ireland. President Hollande says of the case, "Everyone must be in the same competitive situation." The Kenyan government has raised mining royalties. Mining companies say it'll make the industry uncompetitive, but I'm willing to bet those same companies will continue to mine Kenyan gold and rare earth metals. Microsoft's being investigated in a tax inquiry. We don't know which country initiated it, but three Bermuda shell companies are being looked at. Apparently their existence isn't acknowledged in the company's public filings. And I promise you, this next item isn't a joke. A survey carried out by PricewaterhouseCoopers found that nearly 60% of the CEOs of large companies in 68 countries agreed multinationals should be required to publish the revenues, profits and taxes paid for each territory where they operate. In other words, country-by-country reporting, something the Tax Justice Network's been advocating for the last 10 years. Maybe they're waking up to the risks of reputational damage. And on this month's Roll of Dishonour, Rupert Murdoch's News Corporations won an $882 million Australian dollar tax rebate. Back in 1989, the then group restructured via tax haven companies. No cash actually changed hands. Losing this long-running dispute has cost the Australian government most of the $1.1 billion in budget savings they just announced. A stark reminder of why global tax rules are in need of urgent reform. The government in the British Virgin Islands is considering prison sentences of up to 20 years for individuals who illegally leak data. The International Press Institute has warned of a chilling effect on freedom of the press there. The Virgin Islands has had a year of embarrassing revelations after the International Consortium of Investigative Journalists' offshore leaks scoop. It looks like the British Virgin Islands wants to dig itself even deeper into secrecy. And finally, Swedish pop group ABBA have admitted they wore outfits too outrageous to wear on the street to avoid tax. The sequined hot pants, the dazzling jumpsuits and platform heels were tax deductible under Swedish law at the time, but only if they were so outrageous they couldn't possibly be worn on the street. Those are the news headlines for this month. Now we're going to talk to Nick Shackson of the Tax Justice Network for his take on this month. Okay, Nick, the European Competition Commission is looking into European tax havens and whether there's a state aid component to tax laws enabling multinational companies to shop around and lower their tax bills. And he sounds pretty determined. "I intend to get to the bottom of it," he says. Anti-competitive behaviour, he thinks, contrary to the principles of the European single market. How significant development is this, do you think?
Well, this is kind of like a bit of a wish list. I mean, it's something he would like to do, he'd like to look at. I think everybody, you know, sees that there's something very wrong going on. I think even multinational corporations recognise that the system is broken. But the European Union wants to use specific tools, which are state aid rules, and it's looking to see whether it can apply those rules to actually start trying to roll back some of the more abusive tax haven activities going on in Europe. And he'll be thinking about countries like Ireland, like the Netherlands, like Luxembourg, which are very big and important tax havens. They'll deny it, of course, but that's what they are. We'll see what comes of it. You know, there's an awful lot of politics that obviously goes into what happens in Europe, and when push comes to shove, quite often the big players push back very hard. So we'll see what happens, but it is an interesting development.
And what's the logic of what he's saying? I mean, if he was able to follow this trajectory successfully, are we talking legal action, sanctions? I mean, how far does it go?
Well, the European Commission does have the power to get member countries to change their rules and their laws. Multinationals are receiving unfair aid, unfair subsidies, that's for sure. There's no question in anybody's mind that that's happening. The question is, do European rules, are they the right tools for tackling this? And it's difficult to see where this is going to go, but it is an interesting development.
Let's move on to the OECD's proposal this month for a new global standard for countries and tax havens to exchange information with each other, supposedly automatically rather than the on-request standard, but it's actually going to complement, not replace, the on-request standard. But tax havens are happy about that one. I'm always a bit weary talking about OECD developments because it's such a slow process and it's so self-serving for wealthy nation members. And, you know, after all, the Tax Justice Network's been advocating automatic information exchange for the last 10 years. Let's look at the good stuff first. Is it another small step forward?
Oh, I think this is important. I mean, basically, just 2 or 3 years ago, the world was saying we can't have automatic information exchange. We've got to have this ridiculous on-request approach where countries, you kind of have to know the information you're looking for before you go to a tax haven and ask the tax haven if you can have that information. And then you have to go through all the rigmarole of their courts and stuff to get the information. This system, assuming it gets rolled out, information that countries require in order to tax their wealthier taxpayers who've got their money elsewhere, offshore or whatever, that's automatically going to be provided to them. It's a whole series of step changes in transparency. The principle is a very, very good one. You have seen world leaders waking up to the problem of secrecy and tax havens and information exchange. And this, what the OECD has come up with here, is the first real kind of nuts and bolts of how information exchange is likely to happen. On the negative side, it's a very weird document. It is effectively throwing away a lot of work that's been done on how you exchange information, work done by others. And it is creating its own new kind of formats. And the format that it's suggesting seems to have some very serious loopholes and shortcomings. And you can also see a lot of political interference. For example, they have this really quite unreasonable demand for reciprocity. In other words, if you are going to be involved in information exchange, you are able to ask the other country, get the automatic information from the other country, then you have to reciprocate. Now, that's all fine and dandy if you're, you know, a rich country with a well-developed tax administration. But if you're a poor country like, I don't know, Nigeria or Ecuador, you are, first of all, not going to have the administrative capacity to dig out that information, to root out that information. It's a very big job. But secondly, if you're a poor country, you're almost certainly not going to be a tax haven. So it's not really necessary in general terms for developing countries to reciprocate because they're not going to be the places where the money's stashed. So it's a very absurd requirement. And you also have very strange technical loopholes. One of the most important ones seems to be, and we're still checking this out, they have moved away from this concept of beneficial owner, which is when you're talking about, you know, there are all sorts of slippery structures for owning assets, that the mechanisms by which wealthy people own assets. The language of the new OECD proposal has moved away from this term beneficial owner, and it is moved towards a term called controlling person, which is a much, there's a lot of technical detail that could be discussed here, but essentially it is a much narrower definition, and it seems to be an enormous loophole.
Right, and so there are loopholes, developing countries, it's not looking good for them. Free ports and safety deposit boxes are excluded, and they're not proposing any sanctions for nations that are not complying as well.
No, that's another thing. I mean, we want to see sanctions in place for jurisdictions that really don't start playing ball. And in fact, Switzerland has already rejected this. Not rejected it in so many words, but it's used a very common tax haven tactic, It's called the level playing field argument, which is to say we will only implement this once everybody else implements it. In other words, it ain't ever going to happen. We ain't never going to implement it. It's not a direct rejection, but it's as good as. So we need sanctions against countries like Switzerland, and doubtless there'll be many others making the same argument that refuse to play ball.
Thanks, Nick. Nick Shackson from the Tax Justice Network and author of the book Treasure Islands. Now it's time for the TaxCast special feature. The Bahamas is famous for being an offshore banking and holiday paradise of beautiful white sands, turquoise ocean and sunshine. But your experience of the Bahamas all depends on who you are and how much money you've got. This month, the TaxCast looks at a secretive island nation that's been captured by the finance sector and powerful business interests. Now the Bahamian economy's broken, and the government's about to make the little people pay for it. Life's good in the Bahamas. If you're a company, a client or employee of the offshore finance sector, or a high net worth individual, you pay no corporate or personal income taxes. There are no wealth taxes, capital gains taxes, or inheritance taxes. Your money and business activities are pretty safe from prying eyes. The Tax Justice Network's Financial Secrecy Index places the Bahamas towards the top end of the secrecy scale. So Bahamians should be rolling in money. They're the world's fourth largest international finance centre by assets, $595 billion of them, equivalent to 96 times the nation's gross domestic product. But life there isn't a bed of roses for everyone.
Three late-night killings, pushing the murder count to 72 for the year.
A deathy day here in the capital as not one or two, but three murders happened within 30 minutes of each other.
It has to cause us to look deep within ourselves and ask ourselves, are we contributing in any way or form?
If you drive through the communities, all the homes are barricaded. People are living in cages in fear of some criminal breaking through their house door or window, coming and robbing them of everything they have, in some instances raping and committing murder, and so on and so forth. That's the fear that people live in.
Violent crimes escalating in the Bahamas. It's reached levels very close to countries experiencing armed conflict. The Bahamas has the highest inequality levels in the Caribbean, and rising. In only 4 years, Bahamian households surviving on less than around $5,000 per annum shot up by 83%. Many there are asking now, just who is benefiting from the finance sector? Because it's clearly not them.
Let's get the economy rolling. Let's get the poverty line eliminated. And I think we'll have a better economy and a lower crime rate.
If you have money in your pocket or money in the bank, then there's no reason for you to commit a crime. So they need to seriously think about creating some employment opportunities to empower the people so that people will have a sense of satisfaction and don't have the need to go out and try and rob someone or do anything criminal.
As those citizens attending the Grand Bahama Crime Forum are suggesting, all the evidence suggests countries with high levels of inequality have higher crime rates. That's regardless of their overall level of wealth. And the more unequal a society is, especially those with oversized finance centres, those at the top tend to have a louder voice in the political process. For a long time, Bahamian governments have presided over an economic model they've been telling their citizens is great for their country. Now the Bahamas is in a serious economic crisis. Their national debt will hit nearly $5.5 billion by the middle of this year. So the government's decided to try to solve the problem by making the little people pay. They want to increase inequality by introducing a regressive value-added tax. That, or VAT tax. And Bahamians are very angry about it. No VAT tax.
More money to pay off the national debt. Say the gambling ain't gone through. That's why we getting liquid the VAT. Well, if they need more money, They need to start collecting all them outstanding taxes. And all the money people owe them, they need to collect them too. Huh? Plus, they need to tax the rich and not the poor. Because why? The rich could afford to pay more. All them concessions and...
Protest track, No VAT Tax, by Mr. J. Bahamian Scott Griffin.
Well, I can tell you one thing. If it happens, we're either going to have a riot in this country to the fact that Bahamian people who are not for this is going to raise up against it. A lot of Bahamian people are struggling right now financially. A lot of people have bills beyond recognition. Children, light bill, rent. Me, for myself, I know what I go through on a monthly basis. I, for one, could vouch for the financial burden that it's going to put on the Bahamian people.
Darren Thompson of Citizens for a Better Bahamas.
The cost of living would go up exponentially, drastically, if that were to be passed in our House of Assembly. We import just about everything that we use, and the cost of living here is very expensive. We pay on average right now, we pay about 45% across the board for most things that we bring to the country. So what they're saying that's going to happen is that they're going to bring down the tariffs on the imports to balance off the VAT. The VAT is being proposed at 15%. Persons are trying to figure out how are they going to live.
The problem with VAT is very easy to explain.
Tax justice campaigner Richard Murphy.
It's a tax on what you buy. Now, the poorest people in any community spend absolutely every penny, cent, whatever currency it is, of income that they have, and sometimes more because they have to borrow to make ends meet. They therefore will be paying tax, VAT, on everything that they spend. The difference between them and, of course, those who are well off is that those who are well off save. And by definition, if you save, you don't spend and therefore you don't pay VAT. So as a proportion of income, VAT always imposes a heavier tax bill on the least well-off than it does on the most well-off. And that, of course, makes it what is called a regressive tax, because a higher proportion of income is being paid in tax by the poorest than it is by the richest. Now, that is inherently unfair, something which the Tax Justice Network always opposes, because we are in favour of progressive taxation, which means, quite simply, that the rich pay a greater part of their income in tax than the poorest.
That's pretty much the opposite of what's happening in the Bahamas. But it's very hard sometimes to find out what really is going on. That's because the Bahamas is a secretive state. Lack of transparency leads to suspicions of corruption and the feeling that politicians are more answerable to the wealthy and to the finance sector. That's why Citizens for a Better Bahamas are not only campaigning against the VAT proposal, they're demanding their government implement a Freedom of Information Act. Darren Thompson again.
The Freedom of Information Act is something that the Citizens for a Better Bahamas is really, really fighting for. That's our number one. Freedom of Information Act would give us access to things that happen within government. Right now, we have no way of knowing what's going on. Wastage, mismanagement, and in fact, corruption. There has been talks now for well over a decade about something called campaign finance reform, because we need to know who's funding these political parties and to understand why government does some of the things that they do.
So do Bahamians know how their economy got into such a huge mess?
We have no way of knowing that. We need a clear, comprehensive report that explains to the Bahamian people exactly how did we get in so much debt. And we have not been privy to that information. And that's why so many Bahamians are rejecting this proposal of VAT.
And there's minimal information, isn't there, on what the government's actually spending the public's money on. So how can citizens be expected to trust this VAT revenue is going to be spent wisely? And they don't know either how much different industries are actually contributing to the public purse, do they?
Well, there's a budget that comes out every year, and then there's what they call a mid-year budget. But the numbers are very broad. They don't go into a lot of detail of exactly how the money is being spent. We don't get a clear understanding of those things from our government. to have a breakdown of how much the hotel industry or the financial industry, the natural resources industry, we don't know how much they are contributing to our economy. We need a comprehensive report presented to the Bahamian people that shows all of these things. Because what we're understanding now, in fact, we understand that from the information that has come out now by this VAT implementation team, is that the financial industry, which is said to be the second largest industry, is actually going to be exempt. There's a large possibility that they will not have to pay VAT, and they also will not be charging their clients VAT. That's beyond incredible to us. You're looking for all of this millions of dollars to try and get our deficits in order and trying to get our debt lowered, but you're going to exempt or zero rate the entire financial industry. The question becomes now is, who is going to have to cover that money, that lost revenue that you would have gotten from the financial industry?
It looks like it'll be the little people. It's not as though the wealthy haven't been given every tax advantage already. One tax that might have gone a small way towards being a fairer tax, the real property taxes, have gone unpaid, uncollected, to the tune of over $540 million. More than half of that's on properties worth over $1 million. Even that the government capped and they granted an amnesty. So you'd be forgiven for thinking the government isn't serving the interests of the majority of Bahamians. Darren Thompson again.
Our main priority is for safeguard measures to be put in place that's going to protect our public funds from wastage, from mismanagement, and from corruption. Right now, there's nothing in place, and truly without any accountability to the citizens of this country, to the taxpayers of this country. These safeguard measures have to be put in place, first and foremost, before we go any further with any type of tax.
So, without transparency and accountability, Bahamians aren't really in a position to consider alternative ways of raising revenue to address their broken economy, or to think about diversifying from finance to be able to fix their broken economic model. At the moment, they're operating in the dark. Tax justice campaigner Richard Murphy again.
There is an answer here. There clearly are appropriate wealth taxes, income taxes, corporate taxes, and maybe land value taxes, which could very clearly address its problems and raise the revenues it needs and not harm its poorest people. But they're not willing to promote those.
But Bahamian politicians are now coming under pressure to vote no to the VAT proposal the government wants to implement later this year. Bahamians are seeing the elites, the wealthy, and the finance sector as part of the bigger problem.
We see all of the tax breaks that they get. We see all of the concessions that they get. And we see the massive amount of profits that they make. So then we ask ourselves a question as the everyday citizens of this country. How is it that these corporations are making so much money, but at the same time getting so much concessions, and then on top of that, not paying their share? So it's a desperate fight right now to protect the livelihood and our way of life.
For more information on the Bahamian Citizens Campaign, go to www.citizensforabetterbahamas.org. You've been listening to the TaxCast. We'll be back next month.